Well, the big tech companies are generally pretty secretive about their plans, but there's one audience where they are a lot more open, and that's when the software developers join them. It's 7 months since Google reinvented itself under a conglomerate called Alphabet, and this morning they kicked off their annual developer conference called Google I.O. Our tech editor, Peter Marks, was up very early, 4 o'clock, I think, watching this presentation. That's how you get your rocks off, Pete. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Fran. I'm sure you were up even earlier.
Google I.O. Well, I was, but I didn't think to tune into Google I.O. I missed that. What was announced at Google I.O.?
Okay, was it
what
really,
is Google I.O.?
Well,
what's I.O. stand for?
I guess I.O. stands for input-output. It's a computer term. But the themes this year were virtual reality, machine learning, lots of interesting stuff on machine learning, and a new messaging system, which is not something we've seen them succeed at so far. So firstly, on virtual reality, they've got a new platform called Daydream. I think this is one of the best product names I've heard in a long time.
You love Daydream.
Well, the idea is a platform for virtual reality. Now, you remember we've seen Google Cardboard, this device, this piece of cardboard where you put your phone in, you can look around and that kind of thing. So really, they're hardening this up into a full platform. To make it look real, to feel like you're really inside a virtual world, you need to minimize that motion delay. As you turn your head, the world that you're looking at needs to turn really fast. So in order to do that, they're nominating certain Android smartphones that are Daydream ready. That means they have the graphics power, they have high-speed sensors, and Android M, the next version of Android, will have a special VR mode. So what they're looking for is a low latency so that you really feel like you're looking around a real world. They also have a reference headset design that's a step up from the cardboard that we've seen previously, and that headset also comes with a handheld controller. So you're inside a virtual world, you can hold a little controller and you can point at things, and it knows where you're holding and what you're pointing
at. So you're doing all this with your phone?
That's right. So still, it's built on top of
the platform.
And
what are you looking through?
Well, the phone is on a pair of plastic goggles on your head, so you're looking at that, and the scene is changing as you turn your head. So the kind of demos they showed were a virtual world that was kind of like a cartoony world where you cooked pancakes, you went fishing, you shot down a drone, and you fought a dragon. But of course, the applications include things like Google Street View, there's going to be a Play Store specifically for Daydream apps, and there's lots of content, including publishers like the New York Times, CNN, and of course IMAX.
What, making virtual
making
reality
videos
3D,
in 3D
content?
That you can look around. Of course, there'll be games, there'll be movies. I mentioned Street View. Imagine being able to go somewhere and use Street View and look around as if you're actually in the place.
Yeah, but Pete, I'm imagining a world where people are all walking around with their phone in front of their eyes, which
right.
is very odd.
Daydreaming. I think
Daydreaming.
The name says it all. Yeah, so I think if it's a very immersive experience, and they really are betting the business on this, they're rebuilding YouTube from the ground up to be VR ready, and we're going to see lots of content in YouTube.
Right. Wow. In March this year, we talked about it, AlphaGo beat that professional Go player in a multi-game match. Are there practical applications emerging
yes.
there?
Yes. Look, machine learning is an important branch of artificial intelligence, and this is where the machine actually gets better by itself. So winning at Go was something we didn't expect to happen for another decade, and that milestone has been passed. So a big update today to Google Now, which is where you can ask it any question in a sort of conversational mode, is now called Google Assistant, and you ask it questions, and they say, to get things done in your world. So basically, it's conversational. It remembers this. The context of things you've asked in the past. So the example they gave was, you might say, who was the director of the movie Gravity? And then later you can say, what other movies did that director make? And it can put the two parts together.
So this is a lot more than Siri can do.
That's right. So it really competes with Siri and Amazon's Alexa. And they say that computing is evolving beyond phones. A physical implementation of this is a product called Google Home. It's a little conical tube that will sit in perhaps your living room, and you can talk to it. It can be a speaker for music, but it's listening, and it has far-field voice recognition. So anywhere in the room, you can just say, oh, Google, what will the weather be like? Or can you book me Airbnb? Or can you get me an Uber? I mean, these are the sorts of things we're going to see, as well as home automation controlling lights, dim the lights, put some music on, all of that sort of thing. So these devices...
Is there a sinister development to that? Is there is it eavesdropping on us and storing information that others could get access to?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I'm at the same time, I'm both entranced by it, but I'm also a bit, I find it a bit spooky. And of course, you've got to ask yourself with Google, how are they going to monetize that? I guess the obvious way is they will learn a lot more about what we like and don't like so that they can feed us the ads we want. But I imagine that they'll do things like, if you say, get me a pizza, maybe they'll do a deal with the local pizza parlor.
And Google messaging, what's Google done there to improve, to gain ground?
They've messaging? Had several goes at this. The latest one was Google Hangouts. They've got a new couple of platforms called Allo, which is really, it's a fresh start, they say. It's got all the standard stuff, chatting. It's like Facebook Messenger. It has emojis, suggested replies. If you write to at Google, then you're talking to a bot, which can answer your questions. It has an incognito mode, so it will have a mode where it has end-to-end encryption, and even if Google is asked to by law enforcement, they will not be able to give up your chat.
So you don't have to go through other WhatsApp or
That's
something.
Right. So it's really trying to compete with WhatsApp, Apple Messages, all of these others, but it's very difficult because they have huge install bases. The other thing they've got is Duo, which is a new high-definition video calling system, competing with Apple FaceTime and probably Skype. One difference is when someone video calls you, you see their video before you answer, so you can actually say decide whether you want to answer or not.
Nope. And just finally, we've spoken about this before, that $8 billion copyright case between Oracle and Google. It goes on. Have we learned anything interesting?
Yeah, it's been interesting because we've had some insights into other users of Java and the price they're paying. Oracle, while trying to put a dollar figure on the damage they've been done by Google, is using, you know, for using the Java APIs in Android, have revealed that when Amazon was negotiating to use Java in the Kindle Paperwhite reader, I didn't even know it had Java inside it, Amazon were able to negotiate a 97.5% discount on the basis that the alternative was to use Android, which had Java for free. So they're saying it's really been hurting their business. Samsung also took advantage of the free Java by getting the license down from 40 million to just 1 million. And an interesting little aside story, Oracle chief executive Safra Katz mentioned that a chance meeting with Google's general counsel at a bar mitzvah, and she said that Walker had claimed that Google doesn't obey the old rules. They just don't apply to Google. Katz said she replied with a one-liner, thou shalt not steal.
Well, that's what the world is afraid of, that the rules don't apply, isn't it? Pete, thanks very much.
Thank you, Frank.
Peter Marks is a mobile app developer himself and technology analyst, and he's our regular tech guy here on Breakfast. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 28 minutes to 9.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.